In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What a terrifying figure this demoniac must have been, this man filled with demons. Went around unclothed and would thrash about, could break chains and run off into the wilds. A terrifying figure, and one that the people thought they ought to chain up or let run around in the wilds away from them. One might have thought that would have been the most scary part about this person. After all, one rotten apple spoils the barrel, or the bunch, or whatever you grew up saying. That's how I learned it. And certainly that seems to be how the Gerasenes treated this man. The one rotten apple will keep him contained, keep him away from us, because one rotten apple like that will spoil the barrel. Another rotten apple I think of is from my favorite musical and one of my favorite novels, Les Mis, Jean Valjean. If you know this musical or this book, then you'll know that Jean Valjean was a prisoner. And he was a prisoner because he broke into a house and stole bread for his family. But to hear the captain of the police, Javert, to hear him tell the story, once a thief, forever a thief. Now, in the musical, Jean Valjean is always a noble character. In the book, Javert has some justification for thinking this. So maybe you know the famous scene of the bishop. Now, the bishop is pretty awesome in this book. Maybe that's why I became a priest, I don't know. But I love the bishop's scene, because essentially what happens is Jean Valjean is looking for pity, for someone to take him in for the night, and the bishop does, and Jean Valjean runs off with all his silver. Well, the police catch up to him and bring him back to the bishop, and the bishop, I love it in the musical, because in the musical they say, and you maintain he made a present of this silver, and the bishop butts in, that is right. But my friend, you left so early, surely something slipped your mind. You forgot I gave these also. And he gives these big silver candlesticks. Would you leave the best behind? So anyway, it's very touching. But then at the end of it all, he says, but remember this. You must use this silver to become an honest man. I have bought your soul from evil and for good. Well, Valjean in the musical from then on changes and that's his one real slip up, and he becomes an honest man. In the book, Valjean actually has one more. A small boy is tossing up a couple of coins playfully as they pass by. A migrant people. He's part of a caravan of people who work in the fields and then move on seasonally. And he's tossing up a coin, probably some of the only wealth he has, and one of the coins drops right near where Valjean is sitting, and Valjean puts his foot over the coin. And the boy knows that's where it is, and he keeps asking Valjean for it, and Valjean eventually runs him off. But as he picks up the coin, he realizes what he's just done. The bishop's words weren't enough to stop him from doing the thing, but they did haunt him thereafter. And he goes and looks for the boy, and he can't find him. He can't make good. And that's what really makes him finally decide to be an honest man. All that to say that Jean Valjean isn't really a good apple. He kind of is a bad apple, at least at this point in the story. So these are two stories about a bad apple who might spoil the barrel. But one, the men are chained up. They are kept secluded, but that's what keeps them in their state. The scarier thing for the people of the Gerasenes about this story is that healing is possible. That one rotten apple doesn't actually need to stay a rotten apple. And that's very much in line with what the gospel teaches. Because we all grew up knowing, at least I did, that one rotten apple spoils the barrel, but the gospel runs in exactly the opposite direction. I love this passage from Isaiah. It's about God who will make sure that justice is served, that those who ignore God's call are brought to account. But it doesn't end on a fire and brimstone sort of note. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I love that. Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. That is a much more gospel view. Not that one rotten apple spoils the barrel, but in that rotten apple, there is a blessing in it. The Gerasene demoniac, the truth about him was not that he was filled with demons, a legion of demons. That was not the truth about him. That was how he seemed, and that was how he was in the world, but that wasn't what was at his ground. That's not how he was created. And Jesus had the capacity to see beyond the legion of vices, the legion of demons, the terrifying figure, to find the blessing in it. Something happened, and for a week and a half, I've been sitting with this letter on my desk. A month and a half, I've been sitting with this letter on my desk. And it's something that I have puzzled over, and I invite you to puzzle over it with me. It's a letter from a prisoner at a maximum security prison, handwritten. And it says, Dear Pastor, I've been born again since 1998. Have lost my angelic wife and entire family while doing time. And a year or so ago, I don't know what that says. I was moved in the spirit, that's what it was, to begin writing the church, requesting both fellowship and companionship. Have written to dozens, underlined, of churches with no response at all. It is as if Christians have literally abandoned prisoners. Could you please put my letter on your bulletin board? I will respond to any who write. And then he signs it. And he reminds me at the bottom, P.S., anyone who would like to write needs to put their name and address on the letter. And that's true. I looked that up. It's also true that this man is a violent offender. I found that out, too. These records are easy to find. And perhaps you can see my conundrum. Because what the gospel says is that there is a blessing in this man. And it's very hard for me to overlook his past. I actually brought this to the vestry and we had the same conversation. And so now I'm talking with the diocese about the best practices involved. Because my heart says we need to honor the blessing in this man. And I'm finding it hard to do that. I got to tell you, sometimes following Jesus is uncomfortable and not easy. What does it mean to find in this prisoner, as in Valjean, as in the Gerasim demoniac, the blessing? How can I open myself in prayer to the gift of this person? As the welcoming prayer in our bulletin says, we believe that everyone who comes through this door is a gift. When faced with hard decisions like these, or I gotta tell you, the other story from the news that has been on my heart and mind a lot this week are the detention centers at the borders. There is a lot of distressing news about the conditions in those centers. Now, there was a whole argument in the press about whether we should call them concentration camps. Frankly, I don't care what you call them. But when the U.S. government argues that soap and toothbrushes and toothpaste need not be provided to those detained, we've got a problem. I don't think we're looking for the blessing in those who are coming to our borders. But for those of us who are seeking God and seeking the kingdom of God, we must find ways to open ourselves to those blessings. In our relationships, if you're reconciling with a spouse or a child or a parent, if you're reconciling with friends, or if you're realizing that those who you have called friends are not really bringing out the best that you are, it takes strength and courage to look and say, but do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. It's not always possible to find the blessing. There are abusive relationships. There are immoral ways of being in the world, and there are times when we have to say, no, enough is enough. But our first instinct as Christians, what the scriptures call us to time and time again, is to see that there is neither slave nor free, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. It is easy to give up on people. Easy, but not faithful. So let us look for the blessing in others, especially in those that terrify us the most. Let us look for the blessing and expect that something even more terrifying might happen. Transformation. We might change and become more loving, and those we love might change and become more loving. And as we look for that blessing, we may yet find God saying, here I am. Here I am. I've been seeking you, and here I found you. Amen.